Jeremiah chapter 29. Amen. We looked at this a few weeks ago. You know, it's good sometimes for us just to recap some of the stuff we've looked at, because it's easy to forget what we learned. You know, they reckon we only absorb about 5% of the message, which is not very much, is it? 5%. They reckon if you actually take some notes, you remember quite a bit more. And obviously, if you go over your notes again, then you remember more. And if you tell it to somebody, what you learned on Sunday, then you remember even more. So, you know, 5% is not a lot just by listening to a message. It's great at the time, but, you know, in the evening, somebody says to you, well, what did the preacher preach on? Say, oh, well, it was good, but I don't know what it was. It's so easy, you know, we kind of like forget stuff. So it's good to write down some scripture verses, some points, some things that you feel that God is saying to you. Put them in your memo, in your phone, or write them down on a piece of paper. Try and remember what you feel, you know, what God is saying to you, especially in the messages that are being preached. You need to just think about, you know, what is God saying to me as a person? What is God, you know, what is God saying to me through the message today? And we should pray for that God will speak to us. So let's just take a moment just to pray that God will bless his word to us. So Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for the word of God. We want to thank you that the word of God brings light. Lord, it brings understanding to the simple. Lord, it gives wisdom, Father. We thank you that the word of God is able to transform us and change us. Lord, your word says that the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding. I pray this morning that, Lord, there will be light in this place. I pray, Heavenly Father, there will be understanding. That you will quicken the word to us. That, Lord, we will not forget the word. That will be planted deep in our minds, deep in our hearts, and deep in our souls. Lord, we just pray, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, you'll speak, Lord, in a powerful way, Lord, into each of our hearts, Lord. Speak in a powerful way. Lord, encourage each heart today. And let us be revived by the word of God. Because, Lord, your word says that your word quickens us, Lord. And I pray that you will quicken us today and strengthen us today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to read some verses from Jeremiah chapter 29. This is a quite a famous passage. And you're probably quite familiar with this particular verse. So I'm going to read it to you. It's Jeremiah 29:11. This is what the Lord says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And most people stop there. But then if we carry on, it says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. See, our responsibility is that we are to call on God, is that he wants us to call on him. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. You know, prayer is not an option for the Christian. Amen. It's not an option for us to pray. It should be like breathing. It should be so natural. And then he says this, and I will listen to you. So, you know, when we pray and we ask and we seek, God is going to listen to us. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says that the ears of the Lord are attentive. He's listening to your prayers. He wants to hear your prayers. He has heard our prayers in this place today. And he wants to answer your prayers. And that's why it's important for us to pray and to call on his name. And verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. And so his verse 13 is a very key verse. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I guess we ought to ask ourselves a question this morning. Do I seek God with all my heart? Or is he just something that I think about when I'm in trouble or when I need him? Am I really seeking God with all my heart? Because the Bible says, you will seek me and find me. It's incredible, isn't it, that we can find God? Come on in, grab a seat. Come on in. Grab a seat. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is the promise of the Word of God, is that we will find God. I like what certain men of God said. You know, I'm not seeking God for what we can get from Him. We're not seeking God, you know, just because of His blessings. I like what this one man of God says. I'm just seeking God because of who He is. I'm just seeking God. I'm not seeking a blessing. I'm not seeking even answers to prayer, even though that's part of what we do. He says, I'm just seeking the Lord. I'm just seeking Him. I want to find Jesus. I want to be in His presence. I want to be with the Lord. I want to seek Him with all of my heart. And it seems like even as Christians, there are times whenever other things steal these places in our hearts. Amen. These other things in our lives that begin to steal and rob from us. And this is what we have got to guard against, is that other things come and rob us of the blessings of the Lord. Other things come and rob us of the presence of God. You know, I really believe that in the presence of God is everything we need. That every one of us as Christians can have the presence of God. That is the manifest presence. That is the tangible presence of God. None of us can see Him. None of us can touch Him physically. But spiritually, in our soul and in our spirit, we can come into the presence of God. And He can manifest His presence to us so that we know we're in the presence of God. Amen? I know we're in the presence of God this morning. Because we've worshipped Him, we've adored Him, we've blessed Him, we've magnified Him, and He is here to bless His people. But more than the blessings is we've got to find God. We've got to find Him. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if you were a parent, and some of you are parents here today, if your children just came up and all they wanted was just blessings. Mom, Dad, can you give me some money? Can you give me some food? Can you give me some clothes? You know, can you just give me? And they're just asking for stuff. You know, how wrong it would be for us to come to God and just ask Him, Lord, for His blessings. Lord, I want this and I want that and I want you to do this. It's almost like we're treating God like a slave. I want you to do this, that, and the other. But actually, all the time we're asking for stuff, we're ignoring Him. And He is the most important person in our lives. Amen? I certainly hope He is the most important person in our lives. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen? We've all sinned. And that's why Jesus came to save us from our sins. And that is the wonderful thing about when Jesus came as the baby of Bethlehem. We celebrate that at Christmas. He came, and this is what it says about Him. It says, He came to save His people from their sins. That's why Jesus is known as a Savior, because He can save us from our sins. That's good news, friends. Because you know what? Sins take people to hell. Sins bind people up and control them and manipulate them. And sins manipulate people and control people so that they are no longer free to be themselves. Sin is a bondage, a demonic bondage that will take people into hell. That's why we need a Savior. Amen? That's why we need to be saved. We cannot save ourselves. We can't even save ourselves from a single sin, because sin is something that offends God, and we need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That's why we need to come to the Lord in humility. We need to come to Him and say, Father, I have sinned. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? It's quite humbling to come before God and say, Father, I have sinned. Please forgive me. Good news is God forgives sins. Amen? God will cleanse our sins away. God will wash your heart free from sin. Many people are bound by sins. They're bound by wickedness, by habits that they cannot break, because they are bound by sin. Sin is something that offends God, and it is actually something that misses the mark. It's not what God wants us to do. He does not want us to live in sin. He does not want us to live in a place of darkness and sin and death and to go to hell one day. Amen? God doesn't want us to suffer those things. He wants us to be free. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, comes to set us free. I need to ask you this morning, are you free from sin today? Because Jesus cuts the sin off our lives. Jesus breaks the chains that nobody else can see. Are you free from sin? Are you free from bondage? Are you free from habits and sins that bind you and afflict you, and you cannot help but do those things? It's because sin is controlling your life if you are controlled by those things. But Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to set you free from your sins. Now, I don't know if you remember, there was a woman, she was caught in adultery, and they brought her before Jesus, and then they were ready to stone her, because in the Jewish culture, if you committed adultery, you were stoned to death. It was no mercy, right? You committed adultery, they brought you in the public place, they picked up the rocks, and they threw them at you until you died. And you died a horrible death. But they brought this woman to Jesus and said, this woman was caught in adultery, and we're asking you, what do you want us to do? Look, we're going to stone her now. And Jesus said to them, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, they all began to leave, from the greatest, the oldest person, the greatest person, to the least. They all began to leave because they themselves knew that they had sin in their hearts. But friends, Jesus forgives sins. Jesus cleanses our hearts from sins. Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, he said, where are your accusers? She said, there's nobody here to accuse me. Where are the rocks? They put all the rocks down. They had walked away. And Jesus said to her, well, neither do I condemn you. You see, God is a God of mercy. Amen. God is a God of forgiveness. God will forgive us whatever sins we have done. He comes to purify our hearts, purify our minds, and cleanse us so that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. If we're in a place of sin, we cannot serve God, and we cannot follow God, because sin condemns our hearts. But also the Bible says God is greater than our hearts. But we need to get rid of the sin problem if we're going to have a perfect relationship with God. And the way that we get rid of our sins is that we confess our sins to the Lord. I know in some churches they say, you know, you should go to the priest and confess your sins. But the Bible doesn't teach us that. It teaches us to confess our sins to the Lord. There are times when we need to confess our sins to one another. That's to brother to brother, or sister and brother and sister. Forgive one another. But when we confess our sins, we confess them to the Lord. We ask the Lord to forgive us. We ask the Lord to cleanse us. Because he is the one who made the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. When he was crucified, the Bible says that he took the sin of the whole world. That's incredible, isn't it? Jesus Christ himself took the sin of the whole world. That is all the sins ever committed in the past and in the future. He took the sins of the whole world upon himself. In fact, the Bible says he became sin. The Son of God became sin. That's why I believe that God had to turn his back on his Son. Those 3 hours of darkness that were on the earth, because Jesus became sin. He became the sacrifice. He took our sins. He took all our pains, our suffering, our sickness, our mental affliction. He took our spiritual torment. He took our physical torment. Jesus can heal anything, friends. He can heal any mental affliction, any physical affliction, any spiritual affliction. Jesus Christ is the one who breaks the power of sin. He breaks the yoke of sin, and he comes to set us free from ourselves, from things that bind us, and things that cause habits in our lives. And they start off innocently, but they become so great that we cannot control them anymore. Jesus comes to break those things. Can you say amen? Jesus comes to break the power of sin. And when you ask him into your life and you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Will you forgive me? Will you come into my life? He will break the power of sin. That's why the Bible says in the book of Romans that sin shall no longer be your master. Sin shall no longer dominate your life. You know, the woman caught in adultery, he said to her, go and sin no more. He told them to stop sleeping around, stop sinning, and go and live a new life. God gives you power to live a new life. He gives you the ability to live for Him and not to live in a place of shame or in a place of disgrace. Jesus Christ sets the sinner free. Can you say amen? And it doesn't matter if it's adultery, or if it's murder, or if it's theft. God forgives all sins, but we need to confess our sins to Him. We need to ask Him to forgive us. He is merciful. He is a gracious God, and He will forgive us. And once we confess our sins, then we turn away from our sins. We don't go back to wallowing in our sin. We run away from it, and we start to follow Jesus. And that is the will of God for us, is to follow Jesus. Jesus said, go and sin no more. And so I believe that she took that as a word of freedom, to go and sin no more. God does not want us to stay in that place of sin. He wants us to leave it and to go on into new things in Him. So each one of us can leave our life of sin and we can start to follow the Lord. And Jesus called the disciples and He said, follow Me. Amen. We are to follow Jesus. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're to keep following Him. We're to follow the Lord wherever He takes us, whatever it is He wants us to do. Do you know what, friends? To become a Christian and to serve God means that you have to pick up your own cross and you have to deny yourself and you've got to start following Jesus. In order to become a Christian in this culture today, it's not popular to be a Christian. It's not popular to serve God. It's not popular to be what people will call you religious, even though you know you're not religious. You're actually in a relationship with God and you're serving God. It's not popular. But just because it's not popular doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. Amen? Because sometimes it's the minority that are the ones that are in the right place. You see, the Bible says that there is a broad road that leads to destruction. And most people are traveling on that highway. It's the highway to hell. It's a highway that is a broad road. And most people don't want to know God. They don't want to follow God. They don't want to surrender to God. They're on the highway to hell. They're on a broad road to destruction. But Jesus said, you should get onto the narrow road which there are less people traveling on it. And you should start to follow Me and start to follow Me into the kingdom of heaven. It's a narrow road. It's a twisty, narrow road, but if you follow it, it will take you to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. Friends, we cannot be saved by any other religion. We cannot be saved by any other person except Jesus Christ. Our salvation is totally exclusive. People say, oh, well, you know, all roads lead to God. No, they don't. Oh, just follow this religion, just follow that God. You know, eventually we'll get to God. It's a load of rubbish, friends. There is only one person that died for your sins. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Only Christ was crucified on the cross for you. Friends, do you know that today, that Jesus Christ was crucified for you on the cross to save you from your sin, to forgive you and to cleanse you and to bring you into a wonderful relationship with God where you can walk with God? You can fellowship with God. You can talk to Him every minute of the day. You can know His love in your heart. You can know His forgiveness. And you can know His power so that you can live this awesome Christian life that God called you to live. And yes, sometimes it means you've got to say no to some stuff. Sometimes you've got to say no to some stuff that you know is not good for you and it's bad for you and it's going to pull you down. You've got to say no to some sins. And you're going to start following the Lord and following the way that He wants you to follow. But friends, I'm telling you, it's the best way. Following Jesus is the right thing to do. Following the Lord into the paths that He has for you is the right way that God wants you to go. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Heavenly Father except through Him. Let us follow Jesus and let us put our hope and our security and our faith and our trust in the Lord. Can you say amen? It's time to seek the Lord. This is what it says here. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. I believe that God spoke that very clearly to me this week. It's time to seek the Lord. Friends, our world is going to come into a terrible destruction one day. whether it's nuclear bombs or however it's going to end, you read the book of Revelation, we know that this world is fast accelerating to a damnation and to an end. The Bible says the world that we know, this earth that we live in, will be burned up with fire. It is going to happen, friends. It's going to be burned up with fire. The heavens will roll up like a scroll. And the Bible says God will make a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meantime, when we know that there is such destruction, when we know that this world is going to come to a sudden end, and the Bible says that Jesus Christ could come in a moment, Jesus Christ could come for his church in a twinkling of an eye, in a split second, suddenly, Jesus Christ could just take his church away. And the Bible says that can happen at any point in time, any moment. That's why we've got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Jesus Christ will come back to this earth. He will save his people. But it just depends whether you are one of his people. Amen. You need to be in the kingdom of God. You need to be in the kingdom of light. You need to be following Jesus with all your heart. It is time to seek the Lord, friends, till he rain righteousness on us. It is time for us to seek the Lord so that he can pour out the latter rain upon our lives. It is time for us to seek God like never before. It's time for us to put our excuses away. It's time for us to put our distractions away. It's time for us to say, I am determined to seek the Lord with all my heart. Because you know what, friends? He is going to turn up when you seek him with all your heart. God is going to turn up in your life when you seek him with all your heart. Here is a wonderful verse in the book of Malachi. I'm going to read it to you now. It's just before Matthew. Okay? And this is what it says here. Malachi chapter 3. And it says this here. Right? Malachi chapter 3. And it says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. I like that verse. Because God is telling us here, then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. Amen. The Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. Praise God against it, Adam. Praise the Lord. You see, suddenly God can turn up in your life. Suddenly God can do amazing things in your life. Suddenly God can just pour out his spirit and pour out his grace. Suddenly God can do incredible things in your life. You've got to believe that, friends. You've got to believe that suddenly God will just come when you seek him with all your heart. There is a condition here. And most of the promises, if not all of the promises of God, they've got conditions. God says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. If you knock, the door will be open. Time and time again, we see God is giving us definite promises, but conditional promises. The promises of God are conditional. And that's why we have got to do our part. We are absolutely responsible in our relationship with God. It's like somehow or other people think that God is going to just do everything for them. And he's going to do everything. But God wants us to be involved in his work. Amen? God wants us to be in partnership with him. He wants us to be involved in his work because God doesn't just want to do it all. In fact, he has done it all. Because on the cross, Jesus Christ said, it is finished. Amen. It is finished. I've done everything for you. I have provided forgiveness of sins. I've now provided the Holy Spirit so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've provided you with every spiritual blessingness in Christ. And he says, now I want you to go and do these wonderful things for me. I want you to be in partnership with me. I want you to reach your neighbors for me. I want you to reach your work colleagues for me. I want you to be a tremendous light and salt in your society. I want you to shine for me. I want you to manifest my glory. And this is what I believe that what God was saying to us this morning is that he's telling us to wake up. is the church has got to wake up to the reality that God is upon us and he is for us, and we need to go out with great boldness, friends. We have got to go out with great authority and great boldness and tell people the Lord is the way to be saved. I was just listening to some testimonies of Smith Wigglesworth, and he went into some villages in England, and he just saw these two women in the field, and he said, "Are you saved?" Well, it's pretty radical, isn't it? "Are you saved?" And they were like, the conviction of the Holy Spirit came on them. They got saved. They weren't saved. They got saved. "Are you saved?" We need to sometimes be so bold and authoritative and say to people, "Have you got Jesus? Are your sins forgiven?" And offer them a solution and tell them that Jesus Christ is the way. He will save them. We are the light of the world, friends. We are the salt of the earth. Here in Isaiah chapter 60, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the glory of Zion. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." That's good news. Amen? That is good news. He says, the glory of the Lord rises upon the church. Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. And the glory of the Lord is on the church. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Who is the light? Jesus is the light of the world. He has come to us. "And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples." That, we don't need to go too far to realize there's such darkness over the people of this world. They can't see Jesus. Their eyes are blinded. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their minds. They're in a place of depression. They're in a place of loneliness. They're in a place of suffering. There are so many people. Great darkness is upon them. You know, William Booth wrote a book about England, even in the 1800s, and he said, you know, in darkest England is what it was called, because he could see there was such darkness on the people. But listen to the solution. "But there's thick darkness over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." God is over us. His glory is over us. That's why he says in the book of Ephesians, he says, "Wake up, sleeper. Wake up, sleeper. Wake up, church, and Christ will shine on you." Wake up, church. Wake up, and Christ will shine on you. You are the hope of your community. You are the hope, and you are the solution to your family, to your situation. You are the solution, because you working with Jesus Christ will bring a solution. You working with Jesus Christ, when you pray and you seek God with all your heart, he will begin to bring a solution into those problems that you face in the workplace, that you face in the home, that you face in your community. Jesus Christ will start to give you solutions. Amen. He will give you solutions for your community. He'll give you solutions for your finances, for every aspect of your life. And we have got to understand this morning, friends, that the glory of the Lord is rising upon us. The power of the Holy Spirit is for us. And that God is not against us, but he is for the church. And he is upon the church. Amen. He is with us. He is our bright and morning star. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus is for you, friend. Jesus is on your side. And God's glory is shining on the church. And I believe, friends, it's time to wake up. It's time to put on the garments of splendor. God bless you. It's time to put on the garments of splendor. Let me ask you this morning, do you have the garments of splendor? God is not talking about a little thing. He's saying the glory. The glory of God rises upon you. The Bible says he changes us from glory to glory. You may not feel very glorious right now, but this is a promise for you. This is a promise for you to be revived. This is a promise for you to be strengthened. This is a promise that God has spoken, I believe, a prophetic promise over the glory of Zion, over the glory of the church, that the Lord rises upon His church. We are the answer to Chippenham. We are the answer to the situation around us. Christ's light always dispels the darkness. Amen. Christ's light in you will dispel the darkness in your life. Sin shall no longer be your master. God will give you victory over sin. He will not allow you to be overcome by sin as you stay close to the Lord and walk with the Lord. He will overcome every bondage and every sickness. He will overcome everything that is opposing you as you seek Him. I want us now to have a look for a few minutes at the chapter we looked at last week, Colossians chapter 3. I want to just recap on something there. Colossians chapter 3. This is important for us to know, friends. Colossians chapter 3. Just before I come to that, there's a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to just read that before I come to Colossians. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this here, for Christ, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. I'm going to read that again. It's a very key verse. Verse 15, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Friend, do you know this morning, the will of God for you is to live for Him. Your purpose in life is to live for Him. Your goal in life is to live for Him. Your purpose, your driving force, is not to live for yourself anymore. It's that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. That is the will of God for us. Verse 16 says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Amen. If you are in Jesus Christ today, friends, the old has gone and the new has come. The old lifestyle, the old nature has gone from your life and the new nature has come. You were once in sin. You were once in darkness. You were once controlled by all sorts of habits and things. But now, by the grace of God, He has set you free. And that's why He says here that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Your old life has gone. And if you are a Christian here today, you should have been baptized in water to say goodbye to the old life, to say goodbye to the old man, and then to live in the newness of life that God has for you. He says, the new has come. And we looked last week at the fact that, you know, the caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. Is that the old life is a life of natural things. But now in the new life of the Holy Spirit, you're able to spread your wings like that beautiful butterfly. You're able to go into the heights of God. You're able to go before the throne of grace. You're able to go and receive blessings. You're able to go to the Father in heaven and say, Father, would You just bless me today? Would You help me? Help me to know You. Help me to follow You. He gives supernatural power. He gives strength to the weak. Amen. He gives power to those who are weak. And so your old life is gone and your new life has come. This is the life that God has called us to, this abundant new life. And as I finish, I want to leave this passage with you for you to meditate on this week. It's a really, really important passage. It's Colossians chapter 3. Your old life is gone. Your new life has come. And that's why he says here, since then, Colossians 3, verse 1, Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Do you know that you died when you accepted Christ into your life? You said goodbye to your old self. You said goodbye to who you were. The Bible is telling us you died. I'm not telling you that. The Bible is telling you that you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That means your old life is gone, friends. The old nature, the sinful nature, the nature that had habits and sinful thoughts and sinful desires has gone from your life. The new life that Christ has given us is now within us, and we are to set our hearts and minds on things above. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, which says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms." We are forgiven, friends. We are able to have a relationship with God. We are able to be seated with Christ. The Bible says that you are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. You are a new person in Jesus Christ. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit. You are forgiven. You have the grace of God upon your life. And you should set your heart and mind on things above, because he's telling us you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then he says, verse 4, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That which is mortal will put on immortality." You will get a new body. You will get a glorified body. It will be amazing. It will be incredible. It will be a body that you live in for all eternity. And that's good news too, isn't it? You get a new glorified body. That which is mortal puts on immortality. You will get a glorified body. So he says that you will also appear with him in glory. You will share his glory. But then, I just want to leave these thoughts with you, because I didn't get a chance to cover it last week. Because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Our hearts and minds are set on God and Christ and things above. We are living for the Lord. We're living no longer for ourselves. But then he says this simple thing here. You just stop there. But then he says this here. He says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." You see, that's the two things we're going to do. Set our hearts and minds on things above. Focus on the things of God. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Get into the Word. Get into the Holy Spirit. Get into prayer. Seek God with all your heart. But then realize that the old nature will always try to raise its ugly head. The old nature, you know, those things that come out of your mouth and you go, "Oh, that wasn't Christian. Sorry, Lord, forgive me." And so you put to death those things that you used to say. You put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Okay, one translation says the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. He said we need to put to death the things of the old nature, because the old nature is always trying to raise its ugly head. And we've got to knock it down. You know, whack-a-mole, you know, when he sticks his head up, you got to smack him on the head. When the old nature comes up, you've got to knock it down. That's why the Bible says put to death the things that belong to earthly nature. You are human. You will have wrong desires. As a Christian, you will think bad thoughts. You will want to do bad things. But you are to deny yourself. You're to pick up your cross, deny yourself. And you're going to follow Jesus. So we put to death the things that are from our earthly nature. We're to put those things down. We're to hit them down. We're to crucify the flesh. We've got to say no to certain things that would rob us of our relationship with Christ. Amen? We say no to certain things. In the book of Titus, he says, the grace of God that has appeared to all men teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. It teaches us to say no to certain things, to not go to certain places that would be temptations, to not put ourselves in a place where we would be vulnerable. God wants you to protect yourself. He wants you to be strong in him. He wants you to overcome the flesh. And he wants you to set your heart and mind on things above. He wants you to overcome the old nature, because the old nature will try to rob you of your life with Christ. But thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us grace. He gives us power. He gives us the Holy Spirit to overcome. He gives us his anointing. He gives us his love. He gives us his perseverance. And friends, that is so important. We need to persevere in the things of God. We need to keep running the race of faith. Keep going, friends. Keep going. Keep following Jesus. Keep serving the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. You know, there'll be many potholes. There'll be many pitfalls along the way. But we just get ourselves up and we keep following Jesus. Amen. There are many discouragements along the way. There are many things to beat you down. There are many people trying to hold you back. There are many things just trying to break you. But you just keep following Jesus. Amen. You just keep serving the Lord. God will be with you. The Bible says God is our strength and our shield. He is our victory. He's on your side. He will help you overcome every temptation. The Bible says we should pray for that. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us also from evil. Deliver us from every pitfall, from every thing, that pothole that the enemy has planned for you, that you will be an overcomer, that you will win the battle. As Paul said, I've fought the fight. I've kept the faith. You know, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Friends, God's going to reward you one day. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to serve the Lord. Sometimes your flesh doesn't want to serve God. Your spirit must rise up above the flesh. Your spirit must rise up above the old man and strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself in Jesus Christ and pray for wisdom. Pray for new strength. Pray for grace upon your life, that you will be victorious on every side. And friends, even if you fail, you can run back to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please help me get a fresh start. He will give you that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to thank you today. We are found in your presence. We want to thank you today, Father, that we are found receiving the living word. Father, we want to thank you that it's the word of God that is able to bring change in our lives. Father, your word is like a sword. Like a two-edged sword, sharper even than a two-edged sword. It divides between our soul and spirit, divides between our joint and marrow. Lord, it divides even between our thoughts to show us which are the right thoughts and which are the wrong thoughts. And so, Father, I thank you today for your people, Lord. I thank you for the word of God in our hearts today. I want to thank you, Father, for your presence. I want to thank you that you are with us, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for this church, Lord, for your people, the Church of the Living God. Father, I pray your blessings upon my brothers and sisters, that they might know you, they might know your love, they might know your grace, they might know your power, Lord, to overcome every obstacle, to overcome the old nature, to overcome those things that, Lord, try to pull us down, try to overcome us, Lord, and we say no in the name of Jesus. We will follow the Lord all the days of our lives, and we will sing to the Lord for all eternity. Father, I pray for protection upon your church. I pray for your blessing and protection upon us, that you will shield us, Lord, from the evil one. You will shield us from temptation. Lord, you will shield us from slacking off. And that, Lord, you will give us that persevering spirit. We will keep going, Father, like that marathon runner who just keeps going, Father. He just keeps going. Because the grace of God is just fueling us, Lord, and helping us along the way. So, Father, I pray that we'll be strengthened in the inner man, that we will be strengthened in our spirit. would be strengthened even physically, emotionally, spiritually, to keep going in the walk of the Lord, to keep going in this race of faith. Father, I thank you today that your power is sufficient for us, your grace is sufficient for us. Give us a great hunger for the Word of God. Give us a great hunger, Father, for the things of God. Give us your blessings, we pray. Lord, I pray, Father, most of all, we would know you, that we would seek you with all our hearts, and we would find you, Lord, as our Lord and Savior, and our wonderful Father with whom we can have fellowship with. Lord, I pray you'll draw us into your presence, that we will know you. This is eternal life, that we might know the true and living God. I pray, Father, each one of us will know you, and walk with you, and fellowship with you. Lord, that your blessing be on your people. That your blessing, Father, be upon your church. Lord, strengthen us today as we go into the rest of this day. Lord, encourage our hearts. Lord, bless our families. Lord, bless our homes, we pray. Lord, bless us this week, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all you're doing, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for our brothers and sisters here today. Lord, let your blessings overtake us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just going to finish on a final song, and we're going to give to the Lord. Just before we do, just a couple of announcements for you. We have got a special meeting on Thursday night here at the church, and that is for the fun day, which is going to be on Saturday the 1st of July. Saturday the 1st of July is the fun day in Moncton Park. You remember we had one a couple of years ago. It was a great success, and the churches are getting involved in it. So there'll be a planning meeting here on Thursday night. If you're able to come along and support that, that would be great. 7:30 here, we're going to just talk about planning and different churches getting involved in different aspects of that work. So do invite you to come and join us here Thursday evening, 7:30. I hope to be just here for an hour or so, just to talk about the planning of that. Also, don't forget, on Saturday we have got the Grace Banquet. This coming Saturday, we thank God for all the people who came to the last one. I think 20 or 30 people came. It was really fantastic. Thank you for all of those of you who made awesome food, great, and supplied us with food for the community. It's a community meal. We've had quite a few of the homeless come. It's open to anybody who wants to come. So this coming Saturday, 12 o'clock until 2, if you can come and help us, we'd appreciate your support with that. Please let the others know who are not here today that the Grace Banquet is on Saturday. And we want to give out some leaflets and encourage others to come. Those of you who have been praying for Mark, as you know, Marcus Cox was quite badly beaten up. He has now gone to Salisbury, and I understand he's got some accommodation down there. So we thank God for that. He's no longer sleeping rough in Chippenham. So do join us on Thursday and Saturday for the Grace Banquet. So we just praise God for all what he's doing. You know, I just had a great testimony. Last one, Grace Banquet we had, one of the ladies said to me, she said, you know, all the guys, all the homeless guys, they know about this meal and they really love coming here. That's good, isn't it? That's real encouragement. We've been going, what, over a year, and started in November, actually. So it's a year and a quarter now. So thank God it's going well and it's getting known in the town. So we want to just continue to pray for that, that we'll continue to be a blessing. And it's so good to see many different people coming. We had a guy come here last time. He was a pagan and he doesn't believe in God or believe in church, but he came for the food. Amen. God is bringing them in, so we give praise for that. Our messages are being uploaded onto the website, www.chippenhamchristianfellowship.co.uk, so you can get the messages on the website. I think we've got two uploaded so far, so that's a bit of a new venture for us, and we thank God for that. So you'll be able to listen to the messages at some other occasion if you want to listen to it over again. Maybe you missed something and you want to go over the scripture verses, then you can go and listen again. Please continue to pray for the Youth Cafe, and that we will have the right volunteers come and join us here. It's really important that we get the right volunteers here at Chippenham Christian Fellowship. We're going to reach out to the youth and just bless them with providing them with a safe place. And so we just pray that that will be a blessing to this community. So praise God. We're going to sing now and give to the Lord. Let's just take a moment to pray for the Youth Cafe, shall we? Just give it to the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for this new venture. We want to thank you, Lord, for the new kitchen, the new flooring, Lord, the new boiler, and the volunteers, the workers getting involved in the Youth Cafe. Father, we just give it into your hands. We pray for your abundant blessing, Lord, on everything that we plan and prepare for the Youth Cafe. Thank you, Lord, the young people are excited about coming. Lord, we just pray it will be a great place for them, and that they will be so blessed, and that most of all, they will find out about you, Lord, by coming into this place. They'll find out about Jesus. They'll find out about your love, Father, and they will be saved, Lord. Commit that all into your hands, in Jesus' name.